Psalm chapter 1 is, if you remember, this was a couple weeks ago, Psalm chapter 1, we're going to do a little bit of a review here, but Psalm chapter 1 is this is what Charles Haddon Spurgeon called Psalm chapter 1, the preface for all of the Psalms. So in other words, it's kind of like that beginning statement that says, okay, this is what's coming. What's coming is a book, a series of songs, a series of poems, psalms that are intended to direct us and to guide us. And at the end of the day, to do one primary thing, and that's to bless us, to have us to be to conform ourselves to the image of God. And so Psalms 1 encapsulates all that we find in the Psalms. Again, sort of the opening salvo of is what you're about to get as you study the Psalms through. You get this encapsulates the Psalms. And so how blessed is the way this begins. Let's read it together here. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf doesn't wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And so, a powerful psalm, powerful words for us. And so what we did as we look at Psalm 1, verse 1, last time we came together and we looked at this idea that God wants to bless us, and I believe that's true. God does want to bless us. Now, he's not going to do it just because he wants to. There are conditions for blessing. The conditions. And the conditions are entirely conditions that you control. The blessing of God depends on conditions that you control, the way that you decide to live and comport yourself in life as a Jesus follower. Those are conditions that you control. And if you can do these conditions, you're going to be blessed. God's word says, how blessed is the man, woman, person? How blessed? And we said, and this is important because when you read it from now on, I want this to sink in. It's blessed is plural in the sense that in the original language, and it actually confounds every commentary and everything that I've studied about this passage is just no consensus as to why in the world this would be plural. How blessednesses, blessings, because everything else around it is sort of singular, is the person. And the idea, I think, is that you are, it's a way, horrible grammar, wonderful theology. You are extraordinarily, overwhelmingly blessed as a person, blessed in this weird way that you could be blessed in so many different plural ways, is the man who lives by these conditions. And so we said last time, and I find it valuable, and we're going to tighten the screws on this idea today. How blessed is the man? Because right away, we're pretty excited. Like, if this is the first time you read this, and you're like, how blessed is the man? And you're like, I can't wait to jump in. I want to be blessed. I can't wait to tell me how. But immediately, we jump into negative and into what you can't do, right? Immediately, we're not jumping into the affirmative, which is verse 2. Immediately, we have to contend with verse 1. Verse 2 is important as well, and we'll look at this next week. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Absolutely important. Must have that. You have to be in God's Word. No doubt about it. The law of the Lord is important. But as important, and maybe more important in terms of where it's found in the text, because in this language and in Greek, the placement of where something was in an argument made it primary. So here we see a primary thing is that the people that we hang around, how blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. Okay, as important as being proactively in God's Word, as important as that is the people we hang out with. No question about this. And so we said last time, and we just kind of dealt with the wicked. We only studied the wicked. And if you remember, we looked at Psalms, I believe Psalms chapter 10, that the wicked, Psalm 10, 1 through 13, is a wonderful passage that describes and defines the wicked. And so Psalm 10, 1 through 13, what are some of the characteristics of the wicked? The main thing is that the wicked do not acknowledge sin. The wicked question God's knowledge. The wicked people are people that just don't have any radar for knowing that there are things that are right and wrong. They're wicked. God's Word says that we're not to walk in the counsel, blessing tied to the people that you listen to, the counsel that you take. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. But what are you doing when you walk? You're getting comfy cozy. Getting comfy cozy with people that with whom you walk. You're walking in counsel. You're taking the counsel and you're walking in it. You're living out counsel of the wicked. See, everybody just acknowledge that counsel doesn't have to be verbal counsel. That counsel can be everything that I do, when I'm at home, the way that I act teaches my kids about behavior. It's counseling my kids how to act. When I act poorly, not that I'm saying anything wrong, I just react in bad ways. That's counsel. Listen, hanging around, it's no excuse that you're not doing what God's Word here, this is important. I didn't say this last time. You need to hear. Young people, have ears to hear, please. It isn't enough to say, I'm not doing what they're doing. This verse is not saying, how blessed is a man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. It's not talking about hanging, or it's not talking about doing what they do, doing what the wicked does. It says you're just hanging around, and you're around the counsel of it. You're around what they're doing. That's not good. You can't do that. You're comfortable when you're comfortable with the world. You don't have to be doing what they're doing. God's Word is admonishing us to not be around it. Don't walk around it. Don't be around it. It's not about, well, so they're my friends, but I don't do what they do. Not good enough. Not good enough. We're admonished here to avoid walking in the counsel of the wicked. Why? Why is that? I mean, this is so brilliant. Because the thing is, not only are they saying things that you don't agree with, but they're walking and living in ways that you don't agree with. And why would you think that that might not eventually stick to you? There's a reason why we don't want to hang around it, because we don't want to learn that behavior. We don't want anything to do with that behavior. So I'm not even going to walk in it. Yeah, but I'm not staying still and kind of hanging out. I'm just kind of walking. No. God's word says, but blessed. Listen, do you want to be, how many here want to be blessed? I think everybody wants to be blessed. I want to be blessed. I absolutely, and listen, I make no apology for this, and you shouldn't either. I want the blessing of God to be poured on me like nobody's business. Like, I want people to just see Pastor Jesse and just be like, man, that guy's blessed. You know what I'm saying? That guy's just blessed. That's what I want. And I make no bones. When God blesses me, I'm not embarrassed of it. I don't have to apologize for the blessing of God on my life. I'm thankful for God's favor and his blessing. I need more of God's favor and more of God's blessing. Does that make sense? Okay, so if that's what you want, do the things that get you there. You want to be blessed? God's word will later say that in everything that he does, he prospers. Now, the world prospers also, right? Psalm 73 shows the contrast, the world, that the world prospers. There's no question that the world also prospers. But when you see Christians prospering, that's because the hand of God is on them. And they're doing things that God finds worthy of blessing. And so God is blessing people. And I want to be one of those people. So that means, this is, listen, all the Psalms, longest book in the Bible, 150 chapters, and the first thing we hear about blessing is don't hang around wicked people. The very first thing, all the Psalms, the very first thing that we hear is, I have to tell you, if God has blessed me for anything, and I just reflecting on my life and seeing the extent to which I've been blessed, and I don't mean this as a criticism, but even relative to my brothers. The reason why God has found it by his grace good to bless me, I think is in large part because I hung out with people that loved Jesus when I was a kid. Now, granted, I went to Christian school and they were there and I gravitated towards people that were believers, and I have good friends to this day that I grew up in that were believers. And so I'm thankful for that, because I did not have the peer pressures in that environment with the friends that I had that exist today. But listen, young people, you create the environment. You create the environment by how and who you hang out with. You don't want peer pressure. Hang around people that aren't going to pressure you to do what is ungodly and unrighteous. Is anybody here today? Is everybody here? This is not a popular message. Well, listen, here's the thing, and we said this last time. I'm under no illusion that there aren't adults that need to take heed to this particular psalm. It's not just teenagers, but understand, it is important for our young people, because, man, this is going to launch you or not launch you. God could have said so many things here. God could have started the psalms with so many things. Don't do this, don't do that. And he starts it with this. Don't be with bad people. A lot of things God could have said. This is what he said. And so we ought to take heed. You want to be blessed. You want to be blessed. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Nor, and now we're jumping into the new, nor stand in the path of sinners. Nor stand in the path of sinners. Sinners, different than the wicked. It's a different word, and so we're going to kind of look at what that is, what the wicked is relative to what sinners are relative to what wicked are. But notice the progression. Don't walk, right? Okay, how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So you do that long enough, and then you get into the path of sinners. You stand in the path of sinners. Now this action is just sort of passe. Oh, you know, we're just having cordial conversation, but I'm not stopping to get comfortable, right? I'm still just en route. At some point, you get comfortable enough that you stand. There's definitely progression here. Walk, stand, sit. There's no question there's an intentional progression here. Listen. Don't be a fool. Understand that one thing leads to another, always does. And so, walking, not good, but one of the reasons why it's not good is because it leads to standing. And now, I'm among them. Now I'm not in route. I'm standing in the path of sinners, and paths are made. Paths are well worn. Paths are well traveled, and the sinners have been on this path for a long time. So much so that they've created a path out of this thing, and all of a sudden, children of God should not find themselves standing in that. There's a comfortable level to which godly young people should not be comfortable with the world. There's a holiness about being with the kind of people that build up holiness in us and don't bring us down, and being in places that build us up and don't tear us down. We're talking about comfort level. Don't walk, don't stand in a path, well-worn path. So I didn't know it was the path of sinners. You know. It's defined. Everybody knows. There are different kind of paths, and this text seems to be indicating that there are paths that everybody understands. That's a path of sinners. Don't stand in that. Well, what's that mean? It means something different to whatever your circumstance is. Just you know what it looks like. You don't have to define it. You know what it is. Don't stand in it. Is that clear? I think God's word's being clear. I don't mean to be trying to over-tighten the screw here. God's word is making a very important and serious way that we should live. Don't stand in the path of sinner. I don't want to stand in a place where naturalness is the way of living in the flesh. I want to stand in places where supernaturalness, where God is vibrant in the living, because God can bless me in that. Who are the sinners? Sinners, I just want to look at one verse. The sinners, Proverbs 1:10. You don't have to turn there. Proverbs 1:10. Here's the sinner. Here's what sinners do. And there's a famous passage. You know it. My son, who's a sinner? A sinner. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. I love the King James, right? We had to memorize that when I was a kid. Consent thou not. The old King James. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I think that's more powerful. It's more powerful than do not consent. You know what I'm saying? Consent thou not. Do not consent. What does a sinner do? A sinner entices people. A sinner is not like the wicked. The wicked are all kinds of things. But when God's word talks about sinners, God's word's talking about it's an arena in which where people begin to tempt you to do bad things. So it's unlike the wicked, which is definitely bad. Don't believe God. Don't love God. You know, the wicked are the ones that say there is no God. Okay, so they're just against God. We get that. Well, the wicked is that. The sinners is different. Sinners now is kind of tightening the screws a little bit. The sinners begin to try to entice you to do things that you should not do. Now, this is pretty simple. That means when people, this is so simple. Everybody understands, adults and kids alike understand this. When you're asked to do something that you know you should not do, that person is either acting like or is a sinner. Hey, come do this. Come engage in this activity, whatever it is. Hey, come do that. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Come over here and do this. Listen, when you're around that, you just know, note it, have it in the back of your mind. I know what that is. That's enticing. That somebody's trying to tempt me to do what's wrong. I know what that is. That's a sinner. I need to get away. I don't want to stand in this in any way. I need to go. How much heartache, adults will understand, how much heartache could be avoided if this passage were heeded to by adults and young people alike? How many of my childhood stupidities and errors and sins that I succumbed to because I just that one little peer pressure of a sinner that said, hey, do this. Hey, do this with me. And I did it because some kind of pressure. And I said, no, don't consent to that. Don't be near it. Don't have anything to do with it. Leave. Understand that's a sinner. Put it in that compartment so I can't have anything to do with this. I cannot stand in this in any way. Every once in a while, we'll hang around the Halfleys, and Lucas will try to get me to do something. I'm like, Lucas. No, I'm just kidding. Thank God I have good friends that I hang out with and that I know of that I could honestly say this. I don't understand this world because I'm not in. There's nobody in my world telling me, hey, do this, do that. Oh man, that is not. But I understand. I'm unique, maybe in that. But that is not that comfort that I have. That lack of being in that every day is not what's happening with our kids. And we've said this before, and I'll say it again. Shame on us for not praying for on a daily basis the kids in our church. We ought to be embarrassed. Every day, everybody in this room ought to be praying hedges of protection around our children and asking God to bless them and to use them and to have them be salt and light. And if you're not doing that, I'm embarrassed because our kids are the future of the church. You want to find something to pray for. You could pray for just hours and days on end, just praying, God bless these kids. God protect them from the way of the sinner. And then, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Okay, this is a good one. So we're walking, right? Okay, we're walking. All of a sudden we get, you know, relatively comfortable. Now we're in a group. Now we're in a group. We're in the path where this is happening. And then eventually you get very, very comfortable. with the people that you hang around, such that you become like them, you become like them, comfortable enough with them that you eventually can just sort of sit, which is the epitome of comfort, sitting. You guys don't know what it's like to have to be up here and preach while you guys are sitting down. Makes me sick. I wish I could just sit and just be comfortable. How comfortable are you guys on that beautiful padded seat? And I have to walk around. There's nothing like sitting. It puts you in a group. Look at you guys, all so beautiful in your group, sitting down together, doing your church thing, listening to pastor preach on Psalm 1. That's not the only kind of sitting that happens here. When you get involved in the world, eventually you get comfortable with the world such that you're no longer walking, you're standing, and then such that the comfort level becomes such you're just at home, and you begin to just sit and just live in it. You're comfortable in it. Oh, make no mistake, this is an intentional analogy about the way that sin and comfort level with the world keeps building on itself. And so we ought to not sit in what? We sit in what? We're comfortable with what? Well, we sit in the seat of scoffers. What's a scoffer? The King James, because I memorized this passage in the King James, says the scornful. I like that maybe better. The scornful. But scoffers definitely has a thing. A scoffer is a... The idea of a scoffer is important. A scoffer is someone who expresses hatred for the things of God, if you were to study the word scoffer, has contempt for God, has contempt for, you know what I'm talking about. They make fun of, listen, most of the media, I hate to say, are scoffers. The people that make fun of the church, think we're stupid. Bill Nye is a scoffer. Well, it's a foolishness. You guys believe in the Bible. You know, you need to be scientific and open. He's a scoffer. A scoffer is someone that makes fun of the things of God. Contempt for, you cannot watch. Listen, how many agree? Because I watch the news all the time as a hobby. It is just kind of my thing is politics, news. And you cannot watch certain networks, all of them, but certainly some, most of them, without noticing that there is, they drip. They drip of hate for the things of God. They just exude hatred for the things of God. Mock it. So notice. I'm going to turn Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, 24. Here's the verse. Proverbs 21, 24. Oh, wait. Let's see. Can you get on that verse? It's one little verse, Nate. There it is. Okay, here's the verse. Listen, read it. Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride. Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who act with insolent pride. You know what the scoffer is? A scoffer fundamentally is a proud person that thinks they know more than God, thinks that you're stupid, they're not. They're fundamentally proud. And out of that pride comes a mockery and a disdain for the things of God. Does that make sense? Out of their pride comes a disdain for the things of God and the righteous living of people. Now, I said this before. I'm just going to illustrate a mocker, this teacher who will be unnamed because I don't even know her name, but the one that made fun of Micah for not having used a bad language. And so this teacher, Micah, have you never used bad? I understand you've never used bad language. No, I never have. I try not to do that. And then she says, I'd rather you just curse me out right now than to lie and say you've never used foul language. The notion, what strikes me about that story is that there are people that just revel in and would find it so disturbing that a teenager would be set apart such to not use bad language, that would bother them so much that they would confront a teenager about it. Is anybody else troubled by this? I am. I'm extremely, not just because it's my child, but because it just bothers me that there would be an adult that would have such terribly low worldly standards so as to think that everybody must be like them, and that if you are in any way righteous, you're putting on your lie, your fake, and how stupid are you to not use curse words? How stupid are you to A, B, C, D, and E? Okay, what you have fundamentally there is a proud scoffer. That's what you have. Teenagers, young people, adults. Everybody in this room knows a scoffer in some way. That person that makes fun of people, that person that's so prideful they think they know everything, that person that just sees righteousness, they make fun of that. You know what I'm talking about? The people that see righteousness and make fun of, well, look at that holy person. You know what I'm talking about? Avoid those people. Those people, absolutely, you have to get away from. The scoffers, they're proud and haughty. And God says so many strong things, stronger things about scoffers and the proud, that God will resist the proud. I know one thing is I don't want to, by the hand of God, be resisted against by the hand of God, because that resisting, there ain't nothing you can do about that. If God resists you, that's a problem. You know, some says it says insolent pride, just a sort of in your face, blatant, brazen pride about scoffers, and scoffers are in just basically proud people. Avoid those people. God forbid that you'd be one. Avoid those people. Don't be around those people. The scoffers. You see somebody that's mocking. It breaks my heart because out of, listen, young people, adults, listen, there's no question about it. If you live like Jesus in this world, adults, not just kids, adults, teenagers, if you live like Jesus in this world, you will see scoffers attract to you, and they will start making fun of you, and they will start mocking you to scorn, and they will start making you feel bad. Don't succumb to that. God promised that if you're like me, the world's going to hate you. Don't let that bother you. You say, well, no, but the whole world, the whole school's making fun of me because I'm holy. Hey, count that a blessing because who cares if the school's against you? Because if God is for you, who can be against you? Although the school's making fun. Listen, if I would actually say this: if you're not living for Jesus at school, there will be no mockery around you because you're just fitting in. But if you're actually living for Jesus in a way that's salt and light in your school, you will attract scoffers. People will come at you and start scoffing at you. Stand firm. You are doing something right. The more you look like Jesus, the more the world will hate you. No doubt about that. I'll lose all my friends. Lose them. Lose them. I'll be made fun of more if I don't be with the crowd. Listen, no. Don't be like the crowd. Because you are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. God has called you to something better. God has called you to holiness. God has called you to righteousness. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. Next week, every once in a while you get to a but that you really like, and this is one of them. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, can you wait for that? I'm so excited to hear what God has to say. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's next week. This week, I want to encourage you. Oh, God, help our kids. And I want to just encourage our kids. Live for Jesus. Forget about the world. Don't hang out with them. Adults too. I've said it once. I've said it 100 times. You want to be blessed. One of the best selling points for being a member of the body of Jesus and actually coming to church is that you start hanging around godly people. That's a good thing. Why? Blessings wrapped up in that. Blessings wrapped up in it. It's one of the reasons why small church is not a bad thing. A big church is good too, but better hang out with people, better make friends in that big context. You got to make friends in that big context. If not, you're going to sink or swim. The thing is, the converse of this is don't hang around bad people. Conversely means that you have to find good people because God's word says iron sharpens iron. And it doesn't work any other way. There's no other way around it. If you want to be a godly person, part of the strategy is you have to hang around godly people. There's no shortcuts. Some of us in this room may have to do some, if you don't mind my saying, some repenting of having friendships that are ungodly that you need to. Teen, adult alike. My last encouragement today is, why is this so important for me is, there are some of you that have such a beautiful blessing to be at home now. You've retired and you're doing. I just want to encourage you use some of that time to pray for our church and pray for our young people every day. So I don't know them. That's not my problem. That's your problem. Get to know them. Learn their names. Write their names down. Talk to them. Say, hey, what's your name? What do you? Can I pray with you this week? Is there something you want me to pray with you about? Pray for our young people. We have young people that show up on Wednesday nights that don't have godly families at home. Do you know who's praying for them? Nobody. There's no parent that cares for them enough to pray for them and engage the Spirit of God on their behalf to bless them and to protect them. We have an opportunity just in our prayer ministry to make an impact in our young people. I beg of you, as a church, to be lifting one another up, and in particular our young people. hang out with the right people. Hang out with the right people.